Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. I am who the word says that I am.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do.
I do what the word says to do.
I have what the word says that I have.
I have what the word says that I have.
I choose to open my heart. And receive everything the Lord has for me today. Today, I'm continuing the series, Your Real ID. So far, we've learned that the word of God is truth. It's where we gain knowledge of our true identity. Our foundational scripture has been John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The real ID truths we've learned so far. Number one, Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Two, Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Three, Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. Four, 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. Five, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. Six, 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Seven, Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Eight, Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. 9. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. 10. Galatians 4:7, I am an heir through God. 11. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I am guiltless in Christ. 12. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Today is part 10, Your Real ID. I've titled today's message, Wanted. Have you ever wanted to be desired and valued? Have you ever wondered if your life even matters? Have you ever battled lies from the enemy telling you that you don't matter and that you're not wanted by anyone? You'll never find anyone to truly understand you or who truly loves you. Have you ever fought with those lies? This week, as I prayed about what to share for an illustration for the message that I'm going to teach, I felt led by the Lord to look back at some of my old journal entries. One's from way back. March 16th, 2025 is when I'm teaching this. This is my journal entry from Monday, March 14th, 2005. I had a great time in Colorado. I love the skiing. We went to 3 different ski resorts and they were all great. I think I'm hooked. It's so hard to live for God. The pull of the world is so strong. I'm so empty and hollow. I feel like giving up. I feel so burnt out. I have nothing in me to give. I feel nothing. I go back and forth. One day I want to live for God. The next day, I just feel like giving up and not even trying. Right now, I want to live by faith and tell myself I'm a man of God and I have a calling and the devil's trying to steal it from me. Lord, I need someone to help me. God, I need you to help me. I got home about 6:30 p.m. last night and called a friend to go hang out for a bit. And that's when Mom called and told me that Grandpa died early Sunday morning. So I canceled my plans and went over to Grandma's house for the evening. I'm worried because I don't feel any pain. I'm so hollow already. This has not really fazed me. I need to learn to love again. I need to be raised back to life again. Lord, do something. Lord, bring me to life. Restore my passion and love for you and people. God, help me make the right choices in life. I've truly come to the edge of the cliff when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. Lord, help me to remember their end and live fully for you. I'm going to go read the word. Try to hear from you, God. I think I'm at one of the lowest points in my life. I need to be filled with the love of God again. Tuesday, March 15th, 2005, 8:30 a.m. I went over to a friend's house last night. We had a good talk. I opened up to them and told them I was struggling. I needed some prayer. I told them how I'd grown cold and bitter, how I didn't feel love for people, and how close I was to throwing in the towel on God. It's just been such a battle. I've not been having my time with God like I know I must have. I need to put God first and live for him with all that's in me. I know that. All right, so I'm going to summarize this next part of my journal because the journal entry was pretty long. I went on in the journal entry to explain that I realized I'd been mad at God as a result of feeling like I'd never find love. 9 months prior to this journal entry, I'd been interested in a girl, and I thought she was interested in me too. But when I let her know I was interested in her, I got friend-zoned hard. And at the time, I felt crushed. Like I'd never find someone to love me. There was a lot of other things going on in my life at the time, so I took it a lot harder than I needed to. I actually, 8 months prior to this journal entry, had come really close to taking my own life as a result of a lot of lies that the enemy had been playing on repeat in my head. Believing that I'd never fulfill the purpose I thought I had in life, that I didn't end up having any purpose really after all, and that I'd never find anyone to love me, and that my life wasn't worth anything. And the enemy beat me down for week after week after week. And the longer I listened, the more discouraged and depressed I got. And the closer I came to finally the day that I almost took my life. But praise God, I didn't. Next journal entry, Thursday, March 17th, 2005. Well, God is good. He answered my prayer to do something, to change something in me. And here's how it happened. Tuesday, this is Thursday, was Grandpa's viewing. And I was having one of those days where I've been trying to reach God, but all I felt was a closed heaven. I really was seeking God the night before when I talked to my friends and asked them for prayer. I had a bunch of friends show up at the viewing, and that meant a lot to me. So I'll have to remember how much it meant to me. So I'm there for other people. It's times like this that it's so important to be there and show God's love. It was about 7:30 p.m., and I'd had a long day. I was getting tired. And Nicholas was there, and I saw Mom talking to someone I recognized, but I didn't remember who it was. So I went up to them, and Mom looked at me and said, "You remember Pastor Ray, don't you?" Well, we chatted for a moment or two, and Nicholas walked over. So I asked Pastor Ray about his church because I knew Nicholas, who was a youth pastor at the time, had some contact with a youth pastor there. Well, to make a long story short, which I'm sorry to do, because this was a defining moment in my life and will affect the rest of my life. Pastor Ray started talking, and he just hit a prophetic vein and started talking about trusting God for money and serving God as a youth pastor and not giving up. It was a lot, and I know most of it was right on for the things Nicholas was going through. He then said he knew that this was a divine appointment, and he started reading my mail right there in front of Mom and Nicholas. He was doing it in such a way that it was like he was just preaching to both of us, and I don't think Mom knew that he was speaking directly to where Nicholas and I were. I had to bite my lip to keep from losing it right there. He spoke to right where I was. You'd think he'd been reading my journal. He talked about the feeling of just giving up and living for the world for a few years and then going back and trying God again. He talked about living a fake life to please people, and he hit so many things. He spoke directly to where I was at, and he addressed all the thoughts that had been plaguing my mind for many months. Then he said that it was lies from the devil, and I would never find happiness and prosperity outside of God's will. He then went on to tell me that I had a powerful calling and anointing, and not to let anything steal it away. Well, that one word changed my life. Thank you, God, you are faithful. Pastor Ray then laid his hands on me and Nicholas and prayed for strength for us and for an imparting of his gifts into our lives. It was truly a divine appointment. Well, yesterday was a funeral. It was really a good service. I had the scripture reading, and I read from 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And then I also read Proverbs 13:22 and told how Grandpa had left a spiritual inheritance for the whole family. Well, I got up and started to read, and I got all choked up. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be. Then, when we went to sing, "How Great Thou Art," I lost it. I have not cried so hard in 9 months. Lord, thank you for restoring my tears and a soft heart. It was really good to just let it go and have a good cry. Well, I have to get on with the day. Lord, please guide it and bless it. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. End of journal. Looking back on those journal entries, I am so thankful for God's amazing faithfulness in my life. When I asked you before I started reading the journal entries, have you ever battled lies from the enemy telling that you don't matter, that you're not wanted by anyone, that you'll never find anyone to truly understand you or love you? I ask that from experience, being on the receiving end of those lies. When I mentioned that I'd come close to ending my life, I was loaded gun to the head, safety all, finger squeezing the trigger close. And it was a phone call from a friend that God used to save my life that day, 8 months or so prior to those journal entries I wrote 20 years ago. What I didn't know on that day that I almost ended my life, or at the time of writing those journal entries, is that God had much better plans for my life than I'd ever dreamed of myself. If you're listening to this and you're battling lies and struggling with thoughts from the enemy of suicide, please talk to a godly friend, parent, or loved one, or call 988, which is a suicide and crisis lifeline. You are wanted, and your life matters. God has a better plan for your life than you can possibly imagine. No matter where you're at today, I'm telling you, God's plan is better than you can possibly imagine. I am so thankful I didn't give in to the lies of the enemy and allow him to steal all that God has done in and through my life over these past 20 years and what's still to come. In less than a year from those journal entries, God began turning my whole life around. This July, Megan and I celebrate our 19th anniversary. And in that time, we've been blessed with 4 amazing children. And I can tell you beyond all doubt that God has better plans for your life than you can possibly imagine if you will just trust him. You are loved and you are wanted. So with that introduction, we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:4-9. This is the call of Jeremiah. Now I realize that each and every person has a unique call, and this was written regarding Jeremiah the prophet's life. But what is interesting here is it gives us an insight into the fact, well, let's go ahead and read the passage and then we'll talk about it. Verse 4, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So while that's speaking of Jeremiah, we see a principle there. We understand something about God. And the fact is, God knew each and every one of us before we were born. Before he formed us in the womb, he knew us. He knew you before he chose to create you. God is all-knowing. That means there's never been a time that God didn't know you because he's all-knowing. It's not like one day God just made up and thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to create you. He is all-knowing with all knowledge, which means he has always known you. And he chose specifically the time and the place for you to be born. He chose what country you would be born in, what parents you would have, what place in history you would be born. He chose all of that. And he chose it. Well, let's go on here and I'll continue teaching. We'll talk some more about that. I'm going to do it a little different today as well. As you can tell, I'm doing quite a few things different. But one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you these next two real ID truths up front before I read the passage they come from. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I want you to listen, because while it's one particular verse in the passage I'm pulling out for the real ID truth, the entire passage is full of these truths. I want you to get this. Our first two real ID truths for today, Psalm 139:1, I am known by God, and Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We're going to go through Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. And as you listen to this, I want you to understand, God knows you. He knows everything about you. There is nothing about your life that God is not aware of and that God doesn't intimately know. He knows all about every bit of you, every sin you will ever commit, every thought you will ever have, everything you will ever say, everything you will ever do, every moment you're ever awake, every moment you're asleep, he knows it all. When there's things about your life that you think, oh, I don't like that, realize God created you. He created each and every one of us. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't give us the ability to work with certain things with us. But when there's certain aspects about our life, it is important that we recognize that God created us with purpose. Let's dive in here. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You searched out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Our real ID truths from that passage. Psalm 139:1, I am known by God. Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There has never been a time in your life that God is not aware of. You are here on purpose. You are here because God wanted you here. You are in this moment, listening to this message, at the right time in your life. You are wanted by God. That word fearfully made, it doesn't mean that we are made in fear, but rather that we were created in a way that should inspire reverence, amazement, and awe, pointing to our Creator. If you remember a while back, we talked about I am God's masterpiece and how a masterpiece is designed to point back to the Creator that created the masterpiece. You, your body, was created to point back to your Creator. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And you are known and fully known. Again, you were created because God wanted you. If you weren't created, the only one that would know is God. Your mom and dad wouldn't know the difference. They wouldn't know if they had a different child instead of you. But God chose you and wanted you to be born and wanted you to be hearing this message today. You are wanted by God. Now, our next real ID truth, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you again before we get to the scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I am chosen by God. So not only are you known by God and fearfully and wonderfully made, you are also chosen by God. And before we get to the passage in 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to share some other passages about being chosen because it's all throughout the scripture. I'm going to pick a few of them here. As you spend time reading the Word of God, you're going to see all throughout it that you are chosen by God as a believer. John 15:16-17, Jesus speaking to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Ephesians 1:3-4, speaking to all believers, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Colossians 3:12-14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-7. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and full of conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with a joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Our real ID truth, 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I am chosen by God. How do you know you were chosen? Well, that passage gave it to you in verse 6, for you received the word because you are born again. If you have received the word and become born again, when you heard the gospel message and you responded to it, that's how you know that you are chosen. Every single believer is chosen by God. You can't respond to that message without being chosen by God. Now, not only are you chosen, but you're also called by God. So he didn't just choose you, he then called you at the right time. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Our real ID truth, Romans 8:30, I am called by God. Now, when we talk about being chosen by God and the call of God, what I can tell you is that if you are born again, you are chosen by God and you have been called by God. Now, what about those that aren't born again? Does that mean that they're not called or they're not chosen? What I can tell you is 1 Timothy 2:1 through 6 says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, and that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time. If you don't know if you're born again, you can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and know that you're not just known by God. See, you're known by God whether or not you're born again. He knows every single person. Every single person is fearfully and wonderfully made. But when you're born again, you are also chosen and called. And to be chosen, to be called, means that you've chosen to put your faith in Jesus. He desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And if you're not sure if you've done that and you want to, right now we're going to say a simple prayer of salvation. It's not so much the words that matter, it's the heart. It's a heart that desires to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to begin living your life with Jesus being your Lord. Heavenly Father, I confess that I need you. I've broken your laws and sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that your Son Jesus is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are now chosen by God and called by him. You have a calling on your life. For every other believer, everyone listening to this voice, learning about your real ID, you are known by God and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have been chosen by God and called by God for his purpose. Do not let the enemy steal out of your life. You are wanted and your life matters. The real ID truths we've learned so far, Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. Galatians 4:7, I am an heir through God. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I am guiltless in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Psalm 139:1, I am known by God. Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I am chosen by God. And Romans 8:30, I am called by God. God wanted you. He knows you inside and out. He's known you from eternity past, and he knows you for all of the future, for all eternity, not just for the however many years you've now lived in this earth. He has known you before you were born, and he knows you into infinity and beyond for all of eternity. And you have a purpose, and you've been chosen. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you that you reveal yourself to each person in a new way over this next week and over the next months, as each of us, Father, continue to know you at a deeper level. I thank you, Father, that you intimately know everything about us. Lord, when you call us, there is no surprise for anything that we've done in the past or anything that we may do in the future, Lord, that nothing catches you off guard. And that when you call us, Lord, that you know all of that in advance of calling us, and you still chose us and called us. Father, I thank you for your amazing goodness in our lives. I thank you for your faithfulness, Father. Lord, right now, I just lift up anyone that may be struggling with feeling unloved or unworthy, maybe struggling to know if their life matters. Father, I thank you that just as you revealed yourself to me 20 years ago, and it's been this amazing journey of trusting you and seeing you work throughout my life, I thank you, Lord, that as anyone listening to my voice chooses to lay their life down and trust you and entrust their future to you, Lord, that you are faithful to lead them and direct their steps and guide them into the things that you have for their life. Thank you, Father, for your amazing love, the love that we are rooted and grounded in. I thank you, Lord, that that grows deeper and deeper over the next weeks for each and every person listening to this message. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your amazing grace in our life. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.